Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. And podcasts of prior shows are also available on either of those websites. Today is January 16th, 2019. The markets were up today. The Dow closing at 24,207, the NASDAQ at 7,034, and the S&P at 2,616. Our topic tonight is transitions. Transitions in life, in retirement, and transitions with the death of a loved one. We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Lori C is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. If you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can always give your question to Lori. She'll write it down and bring it into the studio, and I'll do my best to answer. So either talking live with me or off air, whatever's more comfortable for you. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and I will do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. And in fact, I had someone email me about a comment made last week on Social Security. So I want to address that. So that was a great way to do that. And I appreciate that person who did that. And I also want to address one of the calls that we had, because in hindsight, I think they were, it was a off-air question, and I think they were leading me to answer a particular way, and I realized I think I didn't pick up on that. So I wanted to address that. So last week, we discussed Social Security and Medicare and work, and what you needed to know about how those things work together. So one caller, it was Albert from Akunji, had called in off air with a question about whether or not Social Security would be impacted by a pension from their job. And I, you know, relayed on air that if I'm understanding the question right and the parameters around that, et cetera, and that the pension wouldn't affect, the pension from the job wouldn't affect their Social Security. But subsequently, I realized that there was a note about the employer, and I think that was the hint, but I didn't want to say the employer on air because I didn't want to kind of, you know, disclose anything. So I left that out. And then in leaving that out, I realized I probably missed the point of the question because I believe the employer was a government type job. And what is important to know and how that might relate to Social Security is that if you ever worked in a job that did not pay into Social Security and you're entitled to a pension from that job, your Social Security benefit may be reduced. And that's called the Windfall Elimination Provision, WEP are the initials they use for that. And or there is also another benefit that could be impacted by the government pension offset. So it depends on what kind of job it was, in what, I assume, what kind of branch of government. So the Windfall Elimination Provision and or the government pension offset could impact the benefit. So there are varying calculations and applications if you are affected by that. So please be aware when you're talking to any of your advisors about the benefits that you or your spouse would be entitled to, you need to make sure you mention, oh, I had this government job where I did not pay into Social Security. The best thing to do if you are having any analysis done regarding your Social Security and those calculations is to provide the Social Security statement, which includes the history. Because, you know, I've seen where there'll be like these huge gaps and it's like, what happened here? You were working all this time. Well, it could have been one of those jobs where they were not paying into Social Security because the government was providing a pension through other means. All right. So that was one thing. Also, another listener emailed me that I may have said something that needed clarification regarding spousal and survivor benefits. And when we're talking on air, we're going through a lot of things quite quickly. And so I'm not exactly sure what I had said, but let me go over what I think it was relating to. If the higher earning spouse collects Social Security early and takes a reduced benefit, but the other spouse waits until their full retirement age, that spouse who waited would collect the higher of their own benefit or the spousal benefit, but based on the primary insurance amount of the other spouse, not the reduced benefit. All right. So let's pretend the one spouse filed early for Social Security and their primary insurance amount was $2,000. And because they filed X number of months early, instead of getting $2,000 a month, their benefit was $1,800. Okay, I'm just making up these numbers. Now, if their spouse does not file early, but waits until full retirement age, and maybe that spouse's benefit on their own record was, you know, $500. But their spousal benefit, therefore, would be higher because the spousal benefit at full retirement age is about half of the higher earning spouse. So in this story, my gentleman was primary insurance amount was $2,000. They collected early. They got a haircut. They're only getting $1,800. Now, spouse goes to file for her benefit. Her benefit on her own record was really low. Her spousal benefit is basically 50% of the primary insurance amount. So instead of getting half of not the reduced benefit her spouse had, but she gets half of the primary insurance amount. So instead of, half of 2,000 would be 1,000, and that 1,000 is higher than her own benefit of 500. So she could collect just her spousal benefit. All right. So that could be a little confusing. There are so many different scenarios. So that's why when we cover these topics, it's educational. It's about bringing awareness to all the complexities that you can encounter with all the different claiming strategies, and depending on the relationships and the age and the work records and when you're filing and all kinds of things. You want to make sure that you understand what applies to you specifically. I do want to mention in tandem with that is in the case of survivor benefits, the couple must have been married at least 9 months as well, except in the case of an accident to qualify for survivor benefits. If both are over full retirement age and are receiving Social Security when one spouse dies, so in this circumstance, they're both over the full retirement age already, the surviving spouse will step into the deceased spouse benefit after death if it is higher. And I do believe I said that. So that's why it's sometimes really important when you're looking at claiming strategies why we would sometimes recommend or suggest that one spouse delay their benefit to age 70, which gives them an 8% increase each year, really amps up that that benefit they're going to get during their lifetime at age 70. But then if they die, it gives their surviving spouse that higher benefit as well. So that is something, one of the reasons why we don't always like people filing early if they don't need to. If the surviving spouse has not collected yet and is not full retirement age, they would receive a reduced benefit. But if the surviving spouse waits until full retirement age, then they would receive 100% of the PIA, the primary insurance amount of the deceased spouse's benefit, or the higher benefit if the deceased spouse had delayed. All right. Complicated. Hope that helps clear up anything, and appreciate the comments and input. Folks, we are at our first break. When we come back, we're going to talk about transitions and why it's important to talk about that. The phone number, if you have questions, 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY 88.1 offers many choices and real voices. Folk music, from folk classics to the Gaelic traditions of the British Isles, to bluegrass and old-time music of Appalachia, to the modern-day singer-songwriters telling the story of today's world. You'll find it all here on WDIY. Listen and enjoy the wide variety of folk music every weekday evening, 7 to 9 p.m., just after NPR News headlines, and Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. on 88.1 WDIY and streaming at WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and we are talking about transitions, transitions through life stages, transitions through job changes, retirement, and transitions through, you know, the loss of a loved one. And I think it's important to talk about some of these things. It's a little bit of a soft subject, but a very important one, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can give your questions to Lori C. She'll write them down and bring it into the studio. So we have had a number of shows on the subject of transitions, which have focused on just job transitions or life stage transitions or when someone has passed away. I've had shows on each of those topics separately. But I thought tonight I would give some perspective around any number of scenarios that could be deemed transitions and why it's important to know regardless and how that applies. And I want to start by saying I think it's very important when someone's going through a period of transition, whatever it might be, that you take time to pause. And what I say is pause, look, listen. It's kind of like when your parents teach you to look both ways before crossing the street. Look, look, look again. Same kind of thing. Pause, look, listen, educate, and then act. There is a lot of stress around transitions, and in getting ready for the show, I started going down, the internet, hole of looking up stress and the impact on our decision-making, because I thought it would be great to quote some statistics and some, you know, research on that subject. And there was any number of them. Some were older than I would have liked to have quoted from, research from 2012 and things like that. So I don't have any quotes on it, but I think it just makes sense in general that we understand when we're under stress, our decision making can be compromised. And it's hard sometimes to be in the moment when we are stressed out, but your decision making really can be affected. Just as an example, before I came in tonight, the whole team got together. We're reviewing a test on taxes, on 2018 taxes with the staff. And most of them had gone through some very, very recent training. And we're going through so I had not taken the test yet. So we're going through the test and they're asking questions and I'm under pressure and I thought, I got to answer this question. And I answered the question quickly. And then someone else, younger staff person, corrects me. And it's like, it's because the question was one of those double negative kind of questions. What is not ABC? And it was really funny. We laughed because it's like, oh, one thing we all have to be aware of is how careful we have to be when we're reading material and we're making decisions for people, especially for decisions that affect, you know, clients and things like that. You have to be careful in the moment. But in that moment, it was, you know, that adrenaline starts going, oh my gosh, we have to answer a question on the spot. And you're not using the faculties that you normally would have if you're not under that kind of pressure. So, and that was just a very simple example. You would have experienced those things yourself if you were in high school, college, when the professor puts you on the spot to answer a question. All of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, you know, you sit up straight and you're like, oh, your mind starts panicking, like, what's the question? What did he ask again? Maybe I wasn't paying attention. And you feel this pressure to answer a question. You might not think it through as much as you should. So transitions basically are change, and people have stress during periods of change. And another example I have was when my father passed away, my mother immediately wanted to sell the house and move into a smaller home in town. I mean, I even kind of, you know, basically helped her kind of look at that. I was like, oh, you know, I could check out some of these houses. We didn't actually go look at any houses, but we were driving around thinking about it. So she wanted to sell the house, move to a smaller house, wanted to move into town because she was nervous about driving, all kinds of things. But people told her to wait. And this is when I really started hearing this. And it's not that people hadn't always said this kind of thing. People probably had always been saying this kind of, you know, wait, wait, wait. But when it doesn't apply to you, you don't really listen. But all of a sudden now, we were experiencing it. My mother was experiencing it. And all of a sudden now we're paying attention to what people are kind of saying. And people were saying, you should wait. You should wait at least a year for such a big decision. That was in the year 2000. My mother immediately wanted to move, sell her house, move to a smaller home, move into town in the year 2000. We are now in 2019. My mother is 88 years old, going on 89. She is still in her own home, in the home that she was in with my father back in 2000. 19 years later, she's still in the same house. Now, granted, I'm not saying that everyone who goes through this event would make the same decision. In fact, sometimes it's a really good idea to move. Sometimes it's a very good idea to downsize or get into a community where there's a lot of other people that you can be with to be engaged and use your mind and talk and visit with people and meet other people. And that's really important too in when you've lost a loved one. So it's not that every decision is the same, but the process of taking the time to pause, look around you, listen to what other people are saying, educate yourself on what might make more sense for you and what's going to work for you, and only then acting. Because when we're in these periods of stress, we're not always making the best decision. So look for some guidance, some counseling from trusted advisors, maybe family, maybe friends. But those same family and friends and trusted advisors might be the people who are pressuring you to make those quick decisions. So I want to warn you against that too. It's not just you internally maybe panicked and trying to act quickly in making a decision. Sometimes it's family members or our advisors or our friends who are telling us what to do. And that might have worked for them. It might have been good for them. It might not be your circumstance. So you really have to kind of take that time to keep yourself from being in that panic mode, because probably guarantee you're not going to make the best decision for yourself if you're reacting. Like I say at the end of every show, be proactive, not reactive. You don't want to put yourself into that kind of situation. And that's stressful in it in and of itself. I had a client once who they had decided, I think, that they wanted to get out of their home. went into another home, moved to another home, and then decided they didn't like that other home, and they went back to their old home. I mean, they were lucky that it worked out that way, that they could do that. But that was quite interesting, too, and I don't recall what drove them to do that. But let's take the time. So when we come back from this next break, I'm going to kind of break this up into some of those situations where we're in life, our life stages. And then I want to talk a little bit about job changes and retirement and how we can be careful and what we have to watch for in those transitions. And then death of a loved one, too, and what you're faced with and how important it is to be present when we're going through transitions, folks. All right, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and tonight we're talking about transitions. I do want to mention, which I do from time to time, some seminars that are coming up available through Lehigh Valley SCORE. Lehigh Valley SCORE offers mentorship and training for people who are either in business, thinking about getting into business, or even winding down business. And their website is lehighvalley.score.org. They have a seminar coming up Saturday from 9:30 to 12, and it's at the Rothrock Library Alumni Room, and it's called Simple Steps to Starting a Small Business. They have another one on Tuesday, Starting a Business, and one coming, and that's on January 22nd. January 24th, they have Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Businesses. Concentrates on a deeper level of business strategy, execution, and growth. And one on February 5th for financing and resources for farmers and manufacturers workshop. So more information is available on their website, lehighvalley.score.org. So that's, you know, for our listeners who are interested in starting a business, developing their business, or finishing their business even. Back to talking about transitions. So we talked about pause, look, listen, educate, act. When we talk about transitions through life stages, and I'll talk about retirement and death of a loved one a little bit later as we go through the show. When I think about life stages, some of the big ones that we go through that may cause stress, college graduations, marriage, children, you know, at some point you kind of look around, maybe empty nesters, kids are gone, what are we going to do? Then you start thinking about retirement and there's stress around that and job changes. So when we talk about college, we think about things like, you know, where are we going to go to college? What are we going to study? How are we going to pay for it? All kinds of things. So you want to kind of take some time when we talk about time to pause, look, listen, and educate. You want to educate yourself on maybe what the cost of the education would be, whether that's you, the student, or you, the parents, or guardian person helping this child go to college. But there can be a lot of stress around it. You want to consider when you're going to college what kind of potential earning power you have with the particular course of study that you might have, and what kind of debt are you going to have, and does it make sense to take on that burden of debt for that particular field of study? Maybe it makes sense if you're going to have a job where maybe you're going to be happy as can be and love what you do the rest of your life, but maybe you're only going to you know, average $24,000 or $30,000 in earnings or something. Maybe you're an artist and it might be hard to hit it big, and that's fine. But if you're going to do something like that, would you want to, you know, take on the burden of going to a private school or out of state school that's going to cost, you know, five times what you'll make in 1 year? So you want to, in order to, I think, eliminate some of the stress of change or transition, be proactive and think about some of the things that you can do ahead of time to relieve some of those. Look, while you're in school, are you interning? What does it look like when you graduate and you're going to be moving? Who's covering that? Did you think about that? If you're going to take a new job, did you consider the cost of where it is that you're going to be living, the cost of moving? Will the new employer help cover some of that? Maybe you haven't even had the job yet. Who's helping you write a resume? Are you interviewing? Have you practiced? So taking some of the stress out of these transitional stages by being educated really makes a difference. Marriage, when we talk about marriage and transitions, let's be in front of it. And I talked about this on one of the shows I did with Life Stages, that before you get married, sit down with your fiance to discuss what the finances might look like and how you each handle money. How much have you each saved? How do you feel about debt? And once you kind of go through those questions, make sure that reality stacks up with the story, so that if someone tells you they're a saver and you find out they don't have any savings, well, they're not really a saver then. And that's an interesting dialogue, because some people really do think they're savers and you find out they don't have any money and it's because they think they're saving to spend the money. That's a little bit different. So you have to understand the terms you're all using. But that transition from being single and only responsible for yourself to then being in a marriage and basically responsible for each other and accountable to each other could really be a very stressful transition. So you want to make sure that you have a picture of what that looks like before you kind of go down that path, to see if it, you know, you're comfortable with it and that you go into this new venture informed. Having a child can be very stressful. It costs a lot to have children. There's housing, there's food, there's health care, child care, education, transportation, you know, sporting events, when the kids are involved in sports, and, you know, saving for college as well. So when you're thinking about having a child, have you anticipated what that's going to look like? Because that transition is going to be hard enough in itself, because you're bringing in a whole new dynamic to a relationship in the home or whatever it might be, in so many different ways, that where you can anticipate changes to expect and plan for them a little bit, then that helps reduce that stress that you would have, and you're making better decisions as well. If, you know, you decide to go back to work and put your child in childcare and you didn't take the time to research facilities, you might be panicked, make a bad decision, and put your child in a facility that doesn't accommodate the needs that you might have for that child or, you know, for your own working situation and cost, etc. So that is a life stage that would be a transition that could add a lot of stress to you. So think that through. And even before the marriage situation and having children, I think it's important to have an emergency reserve, because going back to this, having other people now that are relying on you, your situation changes so dramatically from being able to go back home. Sometimes when we're adult children, something goes wrong, we lose our job, you know, hopefully mom and dad will still, or mom or dad will still take us in. And that's a little bit easier to navigate than when all of a sudden we may be married and or have a child. That might not be as open of an option for us any longer. So you want to make sure that you kind of have planned ahead as well. quite often what I'll try to tell people if they're thinking about this and they're trying to be proactive and they're planning for this is you behave as if you already have these expenses or these commitments or responsibilities. And in doing so, it isn't such a big transition when it actually happens. So don't buy a home that you can barely afford on just your salary or just, you know, on both of your salaries. Buy something less than what you think you can afford, because that gives you a little wiggle room and flexibility and takes a little pressure and stress off of your situation. Because if you're not doing that, then it can lead to, you know, arguments and additional stress. And then you definitely don't want to go down the road where, because you weren't doing the planning and weren't thinking through and working together and coming into this open-eyed and understanding, you could end up, you know, having divorce or separation when you might not otherwise have been in that situation. All right, folks, so we're just kind of talking in some general terms about transitions and life stages and how to try to avoid some of the situations you might be in if you're under stress and making decisions that aren't to your benefit. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
This is WDIY. It's 6:30. Your current temperature is 36. On Thursday, partly sunny with a high near 31. Thursday night, snow mainly after 10 p.m., low around 26. Friday, a chance of snow before 10 a.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 40. Friday night, partly cloudy with a low around 23. Saturday, snow likely after 1 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 37. And Saturday night, snow and sleet, low around 30 degrees. And Sunday, freezing rain and sleet, high near 40. Now back to your financial choices with Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Shondi. Welcome back, folks. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with me or off air if you're not comfortable talking live on air. You can give your question to Lori C. She'll write it down and bring it in to me. Talking about transitions tonight and kind of what to watch out for, let me go into, I'm going to skip over to job changes. And Jackie Cornelius and Rod Young from Valley National hosted the show for me on July 25th, 2018. So you can always listen to the podcast from that show. But they talked about job transitions and how important it is to understand what you have available to you as far as job benefits, etc. So what they talked about was understanding your existing benefits, understanding severance, unemployment, your 401k considerations, medical insurance, pension, non-qualified retirement benefits, I'll talk about that in a second, stock compensation plans, and income tax planning. So there's so much to talk about in all of that. And tonight I'm just trying to give kind of a higher level view of it that I guess I would like to say I never take anything for granted. I try not to take anything for granted. And if you don't take it for granted, you plan really differently. I remember I had a friend, well, I won't go into that, but so if you are employed and you have benefits, sometimes people will have all of that online and they will just think, you know, they sign on, they log in at work and everything's electronic or on the intraweb or the intranet at their company. And they may not, realize that if they were to leave or get told that their job is done, that they don't have access to all of that information anymore. So you do want to make sure that if you have access to that information online, that you maybe print it out or save it to a PDF or put it on, you know, a zip drive or something so that you have it in the event anything were to happen. So you want to understand your existing benefits. Because that would be important. Like some people will have life insurance and they have it just through their employer. And if they lose their job, they lose that life insurance. There may be an opportunity for them to continue that. There may be, they might need to know what their health care benefits were. So you want to make sure that you have an understanding of your existing benefits. What would happen if something happened to your job and you were let go? You want to understand what your severance benefits are. Sometimes that might be spelled out in one of those employee benefits books or employee handbooks. How much would your severance be? Are you going to get a lump sum? Is it going to be over time? Do they help with any of the health coverage? Will they pay through, you know, typically I think through the end of the month, but if you're severed and you're maybe an early retirement severance, what is that going to look like? Years ago, companies still provided retiree health insurance. Many companies have done away with that. What is that picture going to look like for you? If there was a bonus, will they prorate the bonus? Is there any control over the timing of your package that you may get? Could they push it to January 1st of the next year? What I've seen happen sometimes if people have early retirement, maybe they are told that they're going to sever employment December 1st. Well, you've worked January through November, and then maybe you're going to get a year's salary. And when that's like having 2 years of salary all in one tax year, if there's any way they could push it to the January 1, it would at least split it between 2 years. How much control or, you know, help might the employer give you on something like that? What if you find a job before your severance date? Is there any stipulation that you can't, you know, go get a job in a similar profession? You want to understand these things before they happen, kind of have a general understanding. It's important when you start a job, sometimes they're giving you all this information, you throw it in a folder, you throw it somewhere, you don't pay attention to it. Make sure you have access to this information. And again, if it's only online, you want to maybe print it out or save it to a PDF somewhere. If you were to lose your job, so job changes, if you were to lose your job while you're working, so this isn't retirement that we're talking about yet. This is like an unexpected change in your employment. Will you be eligible for unemployment insurance? Many people think that they can apply for unemployment when they lose their job. And while you normally could, if you're getting severance in Pennsylvania, that severance is going to defer that that unemployment benefit from starting. It didn't used to be that. Many, many years ago, you could get your severance and still file for unemployment right away, but they have changed that. So you're not going to, they coordinate the benefits for unemployment and severance, but if you're in a different state, it might depend. Pennsylvania and New Jersey both have 26 weeks of unemployment insurance available. So that's about 26 weeks you can count on. That's 6 months. But they also max the unemployment benefit. And the unemployment benefit is, I think it's a weekly benefit of $573. Gosh, now I'm thinking, is it weekly? I think. And New Jersey's $677. And then if in Pennsylvania, if you have children, they give you a tiny bit extra. It's not a lot. That's sometimes a surprise for people too, if they were making like a boatload of money and then they find out that the unemployment insurance is capped. It's just going to be a different lifestyle for a while. 401k, big item to be careful of in any kind of transition, especially if you're really not retirement age yet and you've lost your job. Be careful on what you do with your 401k. If you're someone who took a loan out on your 401k and you lose your job, they may treat that loan as a distribution to you. If you're under age 59 and a half and under age 55, that that loan would be considered, if they treat it as a distribution, would be treated as subject to early withdrawal, 10% penalty on top of the regular income tax. So you also have to be careful when you're making decisions, even when you're not in transition, understand what decisions you're making and how they might impact you in a different area of your life, or if you end up having some kind of change, whether you have to move or, you know, change jobs, get promoted, if the company, you know, does some kind of a joint venture merger, how do your benefits change in those situations? Because sometimes they do. And then if you have an understanding of what's going to happen, it takes the pressure off a little bit. The most important thing, if you're going through a change like this unexpected, let's say you lose your job and you're just so mad at the company now, you're so angry and you're like, I'm getting my stuff out of there, I'm going to take my 401k out. A couple things can happen. If you take your 401k out and you liquidate the whole thing and you take a check and you cash the check, now you really have taken a distribution. You've got some tax consequences if there's no Roth piece on that. So big tax consequences, especially if you're under age 55, terminating employment from an employer, otherwise 59 and a half for most people. There could be income tax and a 10% penalty. Most people will roll their 401ks over to an IRA. Let's say you lose your job, you panic, you go to your financial advisor, you say, oh my gosh, I just lost my job. What am I going to do? I don't know if I'm going to make it. I might need money. I have $500,000 in my 401k and I think I might need that money if I'm not making anything. I don't know what's going to happen. Financial advisor says, oh, let's roll that 401k over to an IRA and, you know, we can figure out some ways to get access to that money. Well, if you didn't take the time, you're panicked, and you didn't take the time to think about what is in that 401k, what is that 401k? That 401k could have some special tax attributes to it that if you're not pausing, looking, listening, and this is where I said earlier at the top of the show, you got to be careful when you're working with advisors sometimes too, because you don't always get the right answers from them either, is that 401k could have a loan. The 401k could have after-tax contributions in the 401k. The 401k could have employer stock in the plan. And those all have special tax treatments. So be careful what you have in your 401k if you were to leave the employment. Pause. Don't panic. You don't have to do things right away. You want to take some time and think and make sure you understand your situation and make sure that you're taking advantage of any of those special tax attributes that could apply, again, to after-tax money, which you could roll to a Roth IRA. If you have Roth 401k money, you could roll to a Roth IRA. And if you have employer appreciated stock, that has something called net unrealized appreciation in it that has special tax treatment to it. So there could be a number of ways that you could take advantage of some of these tax attributes. Medical insurance is a big cost for a lot of people. So before you maybe make a job change yourself, you want to think that through. Maybe you're stressed out and you just have to get out of there and you just want to quit, but you didn't factor in that that's your health insurance, and health insurance is very expensive. And if you just quit, what are you going to do? You'll have COBRA for a while, but COBRA costs money. COBRA coverage generally is up to 18 months, but it's going to cost you more than it was usually when you were working. Did you factor that in? Did you think that through? Sometimes what else could you do to get yourself through that situation to reduce that stress for you that might be causing you to make a decision that might not be of the best interest to you at that time? Pension benefits. While we are seeing pension benefits go by the wayside, there still are companies out there that have pension benefits. You leave employment, you're filling out the paperwork, and maybe you just sign up for something really quickly because, again, maybe you're panicked. Maybe you were retirement age, but you weren't expecting to stop working, and you think, oh my gosh, I'm going to need that pension. You sign up, you say, I'm going to take the maximum I can get, the single life. Well, you forgot that you got a spouse sitting at home who might rely on that pension. If you croak the next day, that pension's gone. So you've got to be very careful in the decision making that you're doing around job changes. There's something called non-qualified retirement benefits. I don't think I'll get into that. We don't see it that often for people. Supplemental executive retirement plans, that has its own set of circumstances that might apply. Stock, sometimes people will have restricted stock units, stock options, employee stock purchase plans. These are different varying kind of stock compensation methods that companies might use. Restricted stock units, if they terminate you, typically those might vest right away. It depends. You've got to read the award when you receive it. Stock options, sometimes if you're terminating employment, they'll ask you to exercise the stock options within a certain period of time. If you're retiring with them, you usually have a longer window. A longer period to exercise. So you want to make sure that you have a list of those and how those are impacted. Folks, we're on the last break, and when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion. I'm going to talk a little bit in general terms about retirement planning and then finish up with death of a loved one and some of the stress that we can be under those transitions, and how to kind of protect yourself. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Not only is becoming a WDIY member a great way to support the programs you love, it has its benefits. WDIY members have access to our weekly member ticket giveaway emails, discover great concerts, theater performances, film screenings, and more, all while supporting the many choices and real voices on WDIY. Make your gift today at 610-694-8100 extension 7 or wdiy.org. Thank you.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We are talking about transitions tonight, and we touched a little bit on transitions through life stages, through job changes, and I'm going to touch briefly on retirement and then finish up with the loss of a loved one and how these transitions or change. I'm not a fan of change myself. I don't like change, and then I want change. I want change all at once. So it's kind of like I build up for it. I avoid it and then just, big changes. But some people love change and some people don't like change at all. But changes, regardless, are typically a little stressful for us. So if we kind of recognize it, embrace it, and try to prepare or anticipate some changes, then it smooths it out and makes it a little bit easier for us as we're going through it. My children tell me I anticipate so many things, it's going to put them in therapy because they think about all these different options they can have all the time. When we think about retirement, sometimes that could be scary for people, a little bit chaotic. And I would say that our experience at all levels of income and net worth for people as they approach retirement, it's done sometimes with trepidation. Even if you get excited about it and think, yay, I've been waiting for this, and it can be a relief. Sometimes we wonder what we're going to be doing in our retirement years. I think people want a purpose, and sometimes jobs give them that purpose. But if you can you know, make sure as you're going through your work life and your career that you do find other things to be interested in, invested in, then that also makes that transition into retirement a little bit better, because it just smooths into you maybe increasing your time spent on those activities that you kind of already had started doing prior to that. So that's really important. But as we go through retirement, sometimes it helps if you do a retirement plan ahead of time, see if you're ready for it. Is there anything that you hadn't considered or thought about? What can you do? So you want to make sure you have your income stream set up. Where's your paycheck going to come from? If you have pensions, as I mentioned earlier, what are your options? What makes sense for you? Social Security, we talked about that last week a little bit. What kind of Social Security options will you have in front of you? What kind of strategies can you use? How are you going to pay your bills? Maybe you work on bringing down the debt obligations prior to retirement. Maybe you decide to work part-time. So there's a lot of things you can work on that. But again, back to the same thing applies when I talked about job changes. When you go to retire, same thing applies. Think about what you're doing with your retirement accounts before you do anything with them. Does it make sense to you know, roll them over or not? And if you're rolling them over, is someone looking at what's in the 401k as far as any employer stock, after-tax money, or, you know, Roth feature type of thing? So retirement, make sure you have a plan for what you think you might be doing in retirement, and enjoy it and relax and embrace it. But just be ready for those changes and find purpose in other ways. Death of a loved one. Here's an area where I think people really get hit, because sometimes it's expected and sometimes it's not expected. And I would say even when it's expected, it still is unexpected. I mean, it's just one of those things. It's still kind of sometimes a surprise even when we expect it. But that in itself can be a little stressful. But where I get concerned is when someone has lost a loved one and they're the most vulnerable, and sometimes it could be maybe a spouse that they were relying on for financial support, or a spouse that they were relying on for physical, emotional well-being kind of support. And there could be family, friends, and trusted advisors out there who may not completely understand the situation, who will force or encourage someone to act quickly when, in fact, that may not be the best course of action for someone. Sometimes people prior to passing away will have all their ducks in a row and have everything in order. I have clients who tell me, yep, every time I leave the house, the notes are on the desk, the kids know where to go, it's all there, and they have it very organized. That helps. That helps relieve the stress for the kids or the spouse who's left. Sometimes people will pass away and their loved ones will have no idea what is there. And that adds stress to those survivors. And makes them vulnerable to people who may try to step in and advise them, or step in and try to tell them how to do something or what to do. You'll have, you know, sometimes you'll call the attorney. Sometimes people don't call the attorney. But there's generally terms that are used during this period of time that we don't understand. And if someone's not explaining it to you, you should be able to say, hey, tell me what you're talking about. So certain lingo they use when someone passes away. Oh, we have to probate. We have to do the court, the orphans court, the county, the formal county, informal county. Friends and neighbors might say, oh, you know, Jimmy did this and you can do this yourself. And you know, you don't have to file this or you have to file that. And it really can confuse the poor person who is trying to grapple with this loss of the loved one that they just had. So you really have to be empowered for yourself in that moment to kind of step back and say, hey, I can take a minute and think. One thing that sometimes, you know, someone loses a loved one and they have to do, you know, the funeral. The funeral, then they get nervous about having to pay the funeral director. The funeral director knows how this works. They know that it will take some time to kind of organize the estate for the person who's passed away. It might take time to pay the bills. And so you shouldn't be panicked about, you know, liquidating assets or closing bank accounts to go pay these bills. Take the time, think it through, and make sure you're not making irrevocable kind of decisions around the loved one who passed away, around their estate. You have to have an understanding of who is controlling things. Someone could, you know, a child could be a beneficiary maybe of an IRA, but not the beneficiary of the estate, or the spouse could be the beneficiary of the IRA and not of the estate. So you can't make any assumptions about how it's going to go, because unless you're the executor or you're the beneficiary, you're not the one who made the decisions how an estate is going to pass out. It's the person who died who made those decisions, and they may have set up everything to go through the will. Some of the assets might go through the will. Some assets might go through a trust. Some assets might go through beneficiary designation. Some of the assets might go through all of those various vehicles. So you stepping in, it might not help your mother or father if they've lost their spouse and you're telling mom or dad, you know, how it's done. You need to find out, did they have an attorney? Were they using an attorney? Did they have an advisor? Let's take some time. Let's think this through. What do we need for them? Well, we're going to need a death certificate. We're going to need to know, are there life insurance policies? What are the accounts that they had? And think that through. I've had just some recent cases where beneficiaries have come to me and have been told by trustees / attorneys, et cetera, that they need to liquidate the accounts. And someone else was told by a bank trustee that they had to take cash if any one of the beneficiaries said to take cash. Well, that isn't necessarily true. It all depends. It depends on what the documents say. It depends on what the executors say and what the executors want to do. And in both cases that I've had recently, the family, the people who passed away were very savvy, had invested well for a very, very long time, had during their lifetime passed assets to these heirs, these beneficiaries that they had, in kind, in stock. So it's just interesting to me that if the person who died had always passed gifted stock, appreciated stock, had always invested themselves, had encouraged the family members to, you know, be smart about what they were doing, that in both these separate cases, not related at all, both cases, the beneficiaries were advised to liquidate and take cash. And when you're relying on advisors and they're telling you these things, what power do you think you have? Well, in the moment, you're stressed, you're panicked, you're thinking, we got to do this, we got to act, we're relying on advisors. You have to be informed, you have to be educated. So there's nothing wrong with putting a little pause on the brakes and saying, well, really, is this what, you know, my father, my mother, my aunt, my uncle, whomever it might have been that was passing these assets on, is this what they would have wanted? Tell me what the document says. Tell me, executor and or trustee, whoever it might be, tell me what direction you're acting on. What was this in the document? Is this what they really told you to do? So that's what I'm talking about when we talk about state transitions and changes and kind of not, you know, being in the moment. You're making decisions that may not be well thought out or taking the time to be educated on what your decisions are, because you're thinking you have to act. You're panicked. You're under stress. And under stress, we don't have as much decision-making kind of factors that we ordinarily would. All right. So kind of a soft show tonight. I don't know what else to say about that. I just think it's so important, and it especially came to light to me that I had two different cases in particular that both talked about that. And I thought, well, it's because, you know, these people who came to me were both under stress to make a quick decision. And, you know, in both cases, I said, pause, take your time, ask for more information. And it went a different direction in both cases, simply because they took the time to pause and think and ask more questions and were better informed. And the people who were trying to direct them probably then took the time to read the documents and were better informed on the decisions as well. So it's important that you get good advisors and attorneys to help you if you're in those kinds of situations. All right. Well, folks, that wraps it up tonight. I want to thank Shandi for being here and Lori C. for being here. Next week, I'm losing track of the shows I'm talking about. Next week, I am talking about financial planning. What is it and who can help you? All right. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.